those words, that it prepares our hearts and our minds for listening to the words in which you have for us today. Father, we thank you again for all the men and the fathers that are here today. Father, may we take the study today and apply it to our lives, no matter how old we may be. And Father, no matter where we are in life, may we always look to you, our Heavenly Father, for that grace and that mercy. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, as we have our time together again around Father's Day, it sort of gears us off a little bit from our normal study from 1 Peter. So you'll have to come back next week to continue that study. But today we want to focus a little bit on the guys, focus on the men. And I have a much easier time preaching Father's Day than I do Mother's Day for very obvious reasons. And so when I studied for this and I began to preach this today, I realized that it's something that has to come from within. And, you know, that's the same thing that all of us need to realize, that if you and I are going to be anything that God has asked us to be, it has to start from within. It can't be something that you just mirror up. It can't be something that you just put on the outside, because the heart issue is truly the only thing God cares about. So when you and I as men, and again, this is geared to the men, but ladies, it's geared to anyone who is a child of God. So these same important principles that I'm going to give this morning to these men, us men, we're also can be taken very clearly and easily to the ladies here today. So as we study this, again, I had shared with them about my father, and I'm grateful that I still have my dad. Went down here Friday night and took mom and dad out. My birthday is like Thursday, I believe, and then Father's Day today, so we go down in between and just do the both, you know. Good steward of God's gas money. Anyway, as need to be more of a good steward today. As we look at that, and as we cherish the people around us, you know, today can never be regained again. And so when you think of that, you think about being a father, being a man or a God of man, a godly man, you realize that my character, my godliness in my life is built by a day-by-day process. And you can't look back and say, boy, you know what? I can remember back, I blew it this time and saw something that I really appreciated, that I am so glad that I was raised in the 70s because I did a lot of stupid things that could not be recorded. We didn't have cell phones. So if you're all my age, you all appreciate that. But you know, today everything is like we record things and we want to go back. Well, if we could take that back or change that, listen, today will never be lived again. And if we could take that mindset and wrap it around our lives, every day is an awesome journey day. Every day we're stepping a little bit further down the road, a little bit closer to where God is going to call us home. And that's the ultimate, when our Heavenly Father wraps His arm around us and says, welcome home. Man, that's going to be a day. But there are things that we need to do to pass on the baton. There's things that we need to do in our life to be able to do that. So today as we look at this, Charles Spurgeon said, train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure to go that way yourself. There's a lot of wisdom in that, isn't there? We're talking about raising kids and training kids and put them in a way they ought to go. And, you know, it's easy to do that. In fact, it's interesting when you see that verse in Proverbs, it's the way that they were bent to go, which means the way God created them to go, which means, parent, your job is to get them to go as close to God as you can get them so they hear the way God wants them to go. So many times today in raising children, we are gearing them up where we want them to go. And boy, you know, boy, mom and dad, you know, I went on a mission trip. I think I want to be a missionary. You'll never get rich. Listen, being in the ministry, I am the richest person in this room. Even if my retirement's out of this world, literally. Literally, it's out of this world. Because you know what? When you understand the whole concept, listen, you don't have to be in full-time ministry to realize that God's going to bless you and God's going to take care of you every day of your life. And I love to see people squirm in fear when they hear the stock markets are falling again. I'm like, yeah, God's going to teach you. God's going to teach you. That's not where your security is. Your security is in Him and nothing else. Listen, very few Christians today live like Mueller did back when he was running the orphanage many, many, many years ago. He lived by prayer. And in that orphanage of many, many children, they had no groceries. He would pray, God, we have one day's supply left. And before that 24 hours were done, there'd be a knock on the door and somebody would deliver bags of groceries. He lived by the faith and the promises of a God who said, I will take care of you. But we don't live like that today. None of us do. I don't. We don't. Because we always like to have that little bit of plan B, that little bit of security. And so when we see what Spurgeon had stated, it's very important. Because a lot of times we'll teach how they should live. But in our own life, guys, are we living like God is that faithful? Are we portraying that God is that faithful? In fact, all of our lives need to be lived in that way. So when we study this text this morning, again, Paul is coming to the church of Thessalonica, and we've studied through this book not too long ago, but I wanted to bring out these three verses because Paul was a spiritual father to many people. And I think today that is more important, as important as an earthly father, is you've got to also understand you're not only their biological father or stepfather or grandparent, but you are a spiritual father. And we tend to lose that part of it. So I thought, very important, let's go to the spiritual father and get some principles today. Let's go to Paul, who basically at this point was sharing with the church at Thessalonica. And again, this was a place located. Paul and Silas both were forced to leave Philippi. They traveled along the Egyptian highway, and they came here to Thessalonica, and they started the church. And so he had a whole church that was basically his young kids. In fact, we'll see that in the text when he names them children. The techna, the Greek word for children, means immature ones. They were young babes in Christ. And as Paul says, listen, here's some things you need to be doing. Here's some things you need to understand. It's so true for you and I today to understand these same principles. So I'm excited to be able to get them and put them into writing today for all of us to understand. The first one is, Father lives by inner convictions. Verse 10, let me read all three verses and then we'll go tear them apart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and just and unblameable we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye should walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Man, there's so much packed up in these three verses. But as we see in verse 10, a father lives by inner convictions. Because ye are witnesses. How do you and I become a witness for God? How do you and I be able to live a life that others will see something different in? Well, to be a witness, we need to understand that there's a God who has given us an understanding. There's a God who allows us to say, there are some things in your life that you need to exempt. There are some things in your life that you need to add. There are some things in your life you need to perfect. If people are going to look at you and say that you're a spiritual father. And guys, it starts from you and I in here. And one of the things that we need to understand, and we're living a day and age today where we are blaming everyone else for the broken world we live in. It's my fault. It's your fault. It all starts with the heart of man. And until God gets a hold of the heart of man, we're going to live in this broken world. And we're going to live in this messed up world. And we're a part of that because we've not taken the challenge that Paul's going to share and say, you know what, I want to stand up. I want to be different. I'm going to stand up because why? I need to be building my relationship with God in such a way that I can train up someone else, that I can mentor someone. Listen, have you ever been on a job where they've given you someone to train you how to do it, and you look at them and say, really? You want that person to train me on how to do this job? And they're like looking at you questioning, why are you asking? Well, you know how they work. You know that they delegate the job to everybody else. They don't know how to do it. And the problem is parenting, sometimes we do the same thing. We tell our kids, listen, here's how it's done. This is what you got to do. This is how it works. And then we go and we do just the opposite, or we do something different. And so Paul starts, you got to live by conviction. The only way that you and I will ever live this style of life is when we find out how God set the system up and we bring it into our life and it becomes a conviction. A conviction you'll die for, a preference you'll change often. The problem is we have too many preferences today, very little conviction. So when Paul begins to mention the very first thing that you are the witnesses, it's interesting because what this does, living a life by inner conviction leads to a devout behavior. Devout behavior is defined by. So what happens is mentally, God, I want to live, I want to be a godly man. God, I want to be, listen, if you ain't a godly man, you're not going to be a godly father. That's pretty common sense, right? If you're not a godly man, you will not be a godly father or husband. So it all starts from within. And so when we see this, it leads to, this inner conviction leads to something that is very, very important. And so when you're looking for a godly man, you need to first be able to see a behavior that leads to. If you don't see the behavior that leads to, then whatever he says means absolutely nothing. And that's the danger. First thing we find, actions witnessed by man, and then motives witnessed by God. The action lifted by man, as we see in that verse, you are witnesses and God also. There's man and there's God. Now, how holy, and this holy isn't a perfection. This holy is a life that is lived with a desire to live as best as you can for God. We're not going to be perfect. Some of us may be closer than others. Some of us are putting forth better efforts than others, but nobody is going to be perfect. And so when you're living in a broken world, it's very easy to look at the brokenness and say, boy, you know what, I'm a lot better than that. But the problem is the standard when it comes to men's eyes, if they don't see different, God surely isn't going to. Because the next one sets the standard. When we look at the motives witnessed by God, because the next verse, holy and just. You see, you can be holy in the front of the eyes of men. You can have all the right attire on. You can have all the right answers to their spiritual questions. You can even quote scripture. You can say, I believe in God. But you know what? So does Satan. Satan quoted scriptures. Satan believed in God. And he's burning in hell. You see, it's not about what you think you know and say. It's about a heart change behavior. It's about a heart change life. And so when you and I, this is exciting to me. You know why? Because if I didn't have Christ in my life, you wouldn't want to listen to me. Some of you are on the verge anyway. As you're praying for me as I preach. Let that sink in a little bit. Anyway, as we continue looking at what Paul is teaching, he's telling the church folk here, listen, you are the witnesses. You are the only ones who are going to live by an inner conviction of their life. You are the only ones that inner conviction is going to lead to a devout difference, a devout behavior. Listen, we live in a world, do you want a few people around you to change your behavior? How many would you like to change their behavior? I'm still looking for that verse about a righteous beating. I haven't found it yet. I'd love to find that verse. But what we got to understand, it's our behavior. It's us. We are the ones who set the tone. Why? Because we are called by God. We are His children. So we need to set the tone. So the motives are witnessed by God. Why? Because God knows the secretness of your heart. God knows every Sunday morning when you come in those doors and you're all dressed up looking nice and fine and you're all smiles and you're loving life. How are you? I'm fine. It's great. It's great to be alive. I mean, it was 40 degrees this morning. It was great to be alive. It's fun. It's great. I went outside, saw my breath. Whoa, that's like tree stand weather, man. When you look at life, you can put on this facade. But God knows your heart. God knows your motives. God knows why you do what you do. And Paul's saying, listen, you got to be good before the both of them. Inner convictions lead to a behavior that man sees different and God knows is different. And that is one of the most important parts. Because everything in the time, when we are before God, listen, when you are before God, you are there and nobody else is going to be around you. You're going to blame no president. You're going to blame no world. You're going to blame no government. You're going to blame no spouse. You're going to blame no parent. You're going to blame nobody. And all it's good is going to be you and God. And God's going to say, yeah, you did a lot of these good things, but you know what? While you were doing those good things, I was looking at your heart. I was watching your heart. And you really fooled enough people long enough that they really thought you were something different. Listen, that could be said about any of us on any given day. And the important thing is we can't relive today. You got to make sure every day you live according to the right, basically, actions and the right motives. The third thing we see in this is critics' silence. And I love this part. The last part of this verse says, as they and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Well, oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have put that critics. Christians aren't critics, are they? I'll move on. I don't want to get on another message. I'll move on. Sometimes we are the hardest critics. The hardest battles that you and I will ever fight are the ones within. Are the ones within. We have struggles within our lives so hard and so difficult. We fight the hardest battles within. But you know what? We can silence the critics. We can silence that one within that doesn't agree. And there's a book out there. I've been studying through it and reading through it. It's a phenomenal book. It's called The Trauma Zone. It's a great book. The Trauma Zone book is phenomenal. If you've got somebody who just has some things going on in the mind that just can't get rid of, past, present, whatever it is, it's a phenomenal book. And they call it a trauma DJ. The trauma DJ gets in your head and he tells you, he convinces you. Well, you know, when a spiritual father says that trauma DJ is Satan getting in your head. Now, we can't be possessed, can we? There's no way that a child of God can be possessed by Satan. None. But boy, he sure does like to squeeze us, doesn't he? He sure likes to oppress us. We can't be possessed, but we can be oppressed. And in that realm of that, our minds, we start thinking about, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, I can't. And all of a sudden, that process, that trauma DJ, gets in our minds, in our heads, and it begins with this mindset. Listen, you want to quiet him? You want to shut him up? May your actions be seen by men as desiring to be good. And may your motives from God be called just. That's how you shut them up. That's how you silence that critic in your mind. That's how you stop the process. Listen, I can't even imagine what the young men today are trying to figure out in their mind. And I'm not going to tell you all the crazy things going on in the world, but there's some things going on in the world right now that are absolutely appalling when they take kindergarten and they're dancing people in front of them that aren't really to dance in front of. When they're taking kindergartens and they're trying to teach them, listen, you don't have to listen to mom and dad. You can choose to be, do whatever you want to be and do. Men, will you be men? Stand up and be men. We're living in a world where they're trying to redefine the backbone of a man. And the problem is we're not standing up straight enough to defend it. Listen, we have to take this one verse, live by inner convictions. Goodness gracious, if you're a man, stand up and be a man. And that doesn't mean that you cower to everything. It does. You just got to stand. And I could just go on and on this whole afternoon about that one verse. Because, folks, this is where we're falling as a nation today. Men are not men. And because men are not men, we're weak. You see, weak men produce a very, very, very weak nation. We are no longer the powerful nation, are we? Oh, it's the government's fault. I forgot. No, it ain't. Listen, we need to stand as men and stand well. Paul was encouraging that to the very first. The second thing we need to realize, a father trains and instructs in verse 11. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. And again, that word children there is techno or a immature one. And so first thing, and this is how it's done, exhort. They gave instructions. They stood up and said, listen, here's how you need to do it. This is how it needs to be done. But we can't stand up and speak what we believe, can we? Because we're supposed to be tolerant. We're supposed to be inclusive. We're supposed to bring everybody in. We're supposed to allow. We're not allowed to be inclusive. We're not allowed to be on our own. We're supposed to be tolerant of everybody else. Because we're not tolerant, you must not love God. Well, listen, I love God. And God says, stand true to my word. And if you go against God's word, I'm not going to like what you do. I will love you to Christ as best as I can, but I will not like what you do. And folks, there's a big difference between that. There's a difference between being judgmental about what someone's doing and making it well known how wrong they are, and all along you ain't much better in different areas of your life. Man, you love them to Christ. You love them to Christ. But man, don't like what they do. And we need to stand up. We have to stand up. We've got to instruct. Paul says, we came to you and ye know. And that word ye know is even very important, that phrase, because they were telling them, listen, put us to test. You know exactly how we lived in front of you, verse 10. You know exactly what we told you in verse 11. We're not holding nothing back. I love Paul. You give Paul one little bit of okay and he gives you double barrels every time. A good lesson. Don't force a door open, but when somebody opens that door, give them the both barrels. Just keep going until they tell you to quit. Don't give them you just keep flying. Because that door may not open again for quite a while. So, exhort, gave instruction, very important. The second thing we find, the comfort, lifted them when they fall. Guys, you gotta be able to lift them and comfort them as you instruct them. And sometimes that's difficult, to instruct someone and love them at the same time. Because some of the things we have to say or some of the things we have to do, or depending on what they did, and you get this concept. But you know, I don't know of anything that Christ did not do that you and I would ever go through. And he loved them. I mean, the thief on the cross, he made sure the thief on the cross went to heaven with him. He made sure one of the guards that truly believed he was saved, I think that guard was saved. You see, he loved the ones who beat him. And we need to understand that when we comfort, we train, instruct in love, comforting, it makes the world a difference. We lift them up when they fall. We don't judge them. Don't throw them to the curb. Don't add salt to the injury. But man, you instruct them. Say, listen, it's not the right choice. This is not what you need. This is not where you want to go, but I'm going to love you through this. One of the saddest things that I've seen is when a child does something, bad choice, and then all of a sudden the father steps in to be the hero. He didn't earn that, did he? Listen, you can't step up and be dad when things aren't right. You step up and be dad in the good days. You step up with the exhortation and the giving the instruction, and you love them every day, no matter what they do or where they're at, and you keep encouraging them, you keep helping them through life. And then when they fall, you'll be there, and they'll be willing to listen and be willing to have you help. But you can't step in at the last minute, because all of a sudden now you realize that workplace that you've been spending 50, 60 hours in a week, all of a sudden isn't important. Listen, it wasn't important way back when. It wasn't important in that child's life from the get-go. But all of a sudden now, you know what I call that? I call that guilt instruction. Guilt instruction. Yeah, you're going to instruct them only because you feel guilty about it now. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of things in this world that you'd be guilty about and regrets and all those kind of things. This is something we can control. This is something we have a choice in. We got to be able to comfort them when they fall. We have to earn that right. It's not just, I'm your father, therefore you will. Listen, that's not biblical. That's not biblical at all for a dad to come and set the rules down and you will obey me simply because I'm father. I'm sure glad God didn't do that with me. Because when I was younger, you told me to do something, I'd do the opposite just because you said so. I always did the opposite. I don't know why. I can't explain why, other than the nature that was with me in me when I was younger. Man, you got to understand the charge, bearing witness through your life. Very interesting when you see this word charge here in verse 11. The root of the Greek word simply means to simply implore or to beseech. Or listen, I'm telling you, you need to do this. But written in the passive tense, it comes into, I'm beseeching you to do this through my life. You see, this is where you earn rights. Because when you look at this, and I'm bearing witness through my life, therefore, if my children see me fall but get back up, guess what? My kids are going to fall and get back up. If my children see me complain about God and everything he's trying to do in my life, guess what? They're going to get angry at God because, one, they didn't understand. Two, they see you going through things that God's putting you through. And all of a sudden, they're like, why worship God? He does this. It's amazing when we charge them, beseech them, implore them. Listen, it's not from the words. It's not from the words. The name for that is dictator. And if you are a dictator father, I do not believe you're going to be a successful one. Because God says, exhort, comfort, and charge, live by life. Those are the three things that really are important in our lives. Those are the three things that I get excited about. Because you know what? You take them out of the home, and that's how you ought to be at workplace. That's how you ought to be everywhere in life. You should be doing these things. Why? So that the man, remember back in verse 10, that the man will see you have a desire to do things right. I guarantee you, when their life starts unraveling, you'll be the first one they call. Because they've seen this different in your life. And they've seen this, the outside being an evidence of what's going on the inside. The third thing we find in the final point we have this morning is the father walks worthy of God. Verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Several things that are listed there. It's quite interesting because when you see this, to be his witness of him, John 8:18, turn there quickly. You may turn there with me, and I don't write the scripture on the screen because I sure hope you have a Bible to turn there with me with. Still can't win somebody to the Lord with a pew Bible on the way home. Just saying, just throwing that out there. 8:18 simply says, I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Why is that so important? Why is it so important that Christ said to these individuals? Because the rule of the land was, you have to have two or three witnesses for something to be true. You have to have those witnesses for something to be. So Christ is saying, listen, you want two witnesses? I'll give you two witnesses. Me and my God, my Father. Do you know that you and I can say the same thing about our lives? Do you want a witness that God is in me? Watch me. And then my Father will agree. Watch what he does. Watch what he can do. Watch how he blesses. To be a witness of him, Christ was the example. He was the witness that everyone needed to see, but yet they rejected. There'll be times that people will reject you and I at the same time as we live that life. The second thing, we are called. Called with a personal objective. Called with a personal objective. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 16:13, and this is a very important verse. I think it ought to be a verse that every man has memorized. Every child of God needs to have it memorized, but men especially. Because in this verse, again, concerning the collection and all that going on for the churches, and Timothy in verse 10, come and see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh for the work of the Lord, I do also. Gets down in verse 13, and he says, now, watch ye, stand fast in faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. That is a definition of the calling that God has given every man. That is the definition of the calling. Because what he's saying, listen, God called us for his personal objective. God didn't call you for your agenda. I know that may be shocking to some of you, but it's not about you. It's not about your agenda. It's not about how God gifted you and how you're able to take that and multiply it. God's called you for his objective. His objective says that we as men need to watch, basically be on guard, stand fast in the faith, quick ye like men, simply men, be men of courage, be strong. Verse 14, let all your things be done with charity or with love. And he's simply saying, this is how you live your life. This is why you're called. You're called to be the strong, guarded watchman. You got to watch over your life first. Guard your heart, Proverbs 4, because from it are the wellsprings of life. Guard your heart first. Guys, to guard our heart means we've got to guard our eyes, doesn't it? We have to guard our eyes. We have to guard our ears. It's too easy in today's secretive world of social media to not guard your heart. You've got to guard your heart. If all of this starts from within, guess what? You got to guard it, man. You have to every day choose to follow, choose to look, choose to understand the things of God in our broken world. It comes from within. We're called to be the watchmen, the guards. Guard your own heart. Guard your wife's heart. And by all means, guard your children's heart. And that means in today's generation, we're going to have to stand. We're going to have to make decisions that go against the flow of where our world is going. Listen, our concept of God protecting us, and I saw this morning, I thought it was very awesome, had God's hand over us and the world's philosophies and all the junk falling out of the sky, and he had his hand over us, and he says, I'm not separating you because I don't want you to love them. I'm separating you so that you are not influenced by the world. God's put a hedge about us. Isn't that awesome? God, we got a protective hedge about us that God says, you need to be careful because I don't know of anybody who cannot be fooled by Satan's deceptive tactics. Listen, think about it. Adam and Eve didn't have a sin. Adam and Eve never did anything wrong. And Satan still got them. Now, any of us here today, can we say we've done nothing wrong? We've lived that perfect life already. We have no sin within us. Listen, Satan has an easier time getting us than he did Adam and Eve. But he gets us, doesn't he? And when he does, we understand that whole process. We are called for his objective. We are to guard. We are to make sure that we are standing fast. Standing fast means stand up tall and don't go backwards. Don't go backwards. You got to stand up and say, you know what? The line is drawn and I'm not going any further. And neither are you into my life. Stand fast, stand tall. And in this whole concept of the courage, quick ye like men, be courage, be strong. So that, and everything we do, we need in 4:14 and 1 Corinthians, we need to do it in love. That's why we're called. Those few things in our lives will show the world around us that there is something in us that nobody else really has. We've got the call of God in our life. We've got Christ in our life, and it makes a big difference. Our takeaway this morning, how can we apply all these to our life and put this all together? First of all, the first one, being a father starts from inside. Very simple, very basic, but yet so profound. Please don't ask someone around you to be something that you are not. Because what you're doing, you're setting up the world of hypocrisy that the world already sees enough of. And why would they come into church to see it when they see it every day out there? Man, you don't ask someone to be something that you're not. Starts from inside. Second thing we can take away. As we walk with God in our life journey, we teach the lessons to our children. As we live our life, and I've mentioned this before, how I don't understand how all of our grandchildren are going to raise up in the world that's broken so bad now. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know where it's going to take them. I don't know where our world's going to go. I don't know what the leadership's going to do. But what I do know is that they can live my faith that I've lived in my generation, they're going to be okay. It's about teaching them how to live by faith in God, not how to live and make it work by your own strengths and by your own gifts and abilities. Because they're going to be gone in a heartbeat. Boy, I tell you what, but isn't it great that he sticks closer to us than anyone else? Isn't it great that he's a friend like no other? Isn't it great that he's a God that owns all the cows? Isn't it great? See, the Bible says there's three things you got to own and you'll be all right. Land, cattle, and gold. I ain't got none of them. But I'm glad God does. I'm glad God got them. Because he's a God, why? He loves me and will give me everything I need. Now, he doesn't wear the watch that I wear. And his timing isn't always my timing. But he is very faithful. And he will give me, he will teach me. All the life lessons we live in our life will be enough for our grandchildren to find that faith in their God and live whatever that generation looks like, whatever that world looks like. It's going to be lived through their faith in their God. The last thing, our children will become like we are, not just what we teach. Our children will become like us, not just what we tell them. And that ought to scares me to death. It ought to scare all of us. In fact, on a little bit of a humorous side, I got two grandkids with broken bones, just saying. They will be like us, and they will carry on those traits. But you know, when we look at this and we've taken our life as men, I mean, this is geared to the men. But ladies, you know, this fits into you too. One more thing. Charles Spurgeon. If we never have headaches through training our children, we will have plenty of heartaches when they grow up. And I think that pretty much sums it up. You see, it shouldn't be easy to raise godly children in a broken world. It shouldn't be easy. They don't need to be liked by everybody in their class. They don't need to be invited to every birthday party. They don't need to wear the same as what everybody else is wearing. They don't need to look like the world. You should be trying everything you can to have that not happen. Because the more they conform to the world, the less they will transform into the godly individual God wants them to be. It's got to start with us. It's got to start with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the study today, and God, I do thank you for the truth. Lord, none of this would be even remotely possible in our lives if it wouldn't be by your grace, mercy, and power that you give us. Father, it's not easy to live that life in a broken world because we do get